Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. I'm proud to announce that this is our 100th show and would like to thank Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130 for giving us the opportunity to bring you this Minnesota military program. We've been able to tell you stories about the military in Minnesota, the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon programs to support our troops and their families, veterans benefits, and interviews with some of our Minnesota military heroes about their service to our country. This week, we'll hear from former Navy Captain, now 8th District Congressman Chip Kravac. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Today, on the last Sunday of September, Gold Star mothers across this nation are being recognized. Gold Star Mother's Day is a day for people to recognize and honor those who have lost a son or a daughter while serving the United States Armed Forces. The name, Gold Star Mothers, was derived from the custom of military families who put a service flag near their front window. The flag featured a star for each family member serving their country. Living members were denoted in blue, while gold stars honored family members who were killed while on duty. American Gold Star Mothers Incorporated began with 25 mothers living in the Washington, D.C. area in 1929, and it soon expanded to include affiliated groups throughout the nation. Chapters even sprang up in Minnesota, but over the years, membership dwindled and the chapters became inactive. As deployments rose after 9/11 and we engaged in operations Enduring Freedom, Iraqi Freedom, and New Dawn, the need for a new Gold Star Mother chapter in Minnesota also rose. Led by Gold Star Mother Barbara Farrell, a group of Minnesota Gold Star Mothers went to work to support each other and start a new Gold Star Mothers chapter. On October 1st, 2009, the charter for the Gold Star Mother chapter for Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota was granted. Today, our thoughts and prayers go out to those mothers who've lost a child while serving in the United States Armed Forces. Our thoughts are also with the nearly 500 Gold Star family members right here in Minnesota. Thank you for listening. Today's veterans are talented, team-oriented, and technologically savvy. Help good business get better by hiring today's veteran.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. On this show, we've had a chance to talk with some former military service members who now serve our country in Congress, such as Congressmen John Klein and Tim Walz. Here's how we started the interview with our former Sergeant Major, Tim Walz. Congressman Walz, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Tom.
Now, we've got a couple of rules on this show, three of them exactly. One of them is no politics, second is no acronyms, and the third one's no cussing. Do we have anything left to talk about?
What are we going to talk about the rest of the time?
And joining us now is former Navy Captain, now Congressman Chip Kravac. Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, Congressman.
Great being on, Tom, and congratulations for your 100th show.
Thank you, sir. I thought you might get a kick out of the way we opened up with the former Sergeant Major.
Tim and I, we travel back and forth, and we work together in Congress quite well. He is definitely a Sergeant Major.
he is, and we had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Congressman, you are also a Navy man and retired as a captain, is that correct?
That's correct. I spent 24 years active in the reserve. I graduated from the United States Naval Academy, went to flight school, was stationed overseas for 3 years, came back, was an instructor pilot down in Pensacola for 3 years, got off active duty, went right into the reserves. I actually served all over with the reserves, from Chicago to Seattle with Sync PAC. Went back to Minneapolis here at the Twin Cities, was attached to a couple carrier units. Went to the Pentagon for a year, came back with a commanding officer slot, was a commanding officer of a great group of sailors that supported the Roosevelt and also the Lincoln. And then from there, I went to Sacklant out in Virginia Beach for about 3 years, and that's when I decided to retire after that.
And, Captain, I understand that you're the third generation of your family to serve in the United States military.
That's correct. My grandfather served in World War One. He was with the cavalry, and as my father tells me the story, it was kind of funny. They trained him to be in the cavalry. They sent him overseas in the midst of World War One, and then they handed him a motorcycle. What he did was he was a trench jumper. He would jump. There was no radios back then. So during the battle, he would jump the trenches and give messages to the lead trench and go back and forth between headquarters. Unfortunately, he was hit by mustard gas. He lost all of his hair and all of his teeth, but survived. My father was a Navy corpsman that spent the majority of his time in the Marine Corps, 3rd Battalion, 3rd Marines. Was in the was on a flotilla heading over to Korea when the armistice was signed. And they steamed off the coast of the Korea for 30 days, found the armistice held, and went and started base Mount Fuji. And it was interesting, when I was flying off of Midway, off the coast of Japan, I took a little detour, landed on base Mount Fuji dirt, and pulled out the flag I had carried all of my young childhood life, that was the flag that my father flew on his tent to show where the corpsman was. So I unfurled that and was kicking the same dirt my father kicked when he was a young man.
And, Congressman, I understand in the Navy you flew a helicopter.
I did. I flew the CH-53 Echo, the Super Sea Stallion, which is the biggest helicopter in the free world. It's interesting. I was a Navy pilot that flew the 53 Echo, which actually belonged to the Marine Corps. I hauled lots of Marines around the South China Sea. Matter of fact, the first sound that the South China Sea passage ever occurred in the 53 was us flying Navy helos out of QB Point, Philippines, in-flight refueling out of C-130s all the way to Okinawa.
We're speaking with Congressman, 8th District Congressman Chip Kravac on Minnesota Military Radio. Congressman, can you tell us, with all that military career and flying for the Navy, and you flew, I think you were a pilot for the airlines as well, how did you get to be interested in becoming a congressman?
I saw where the country was going. We all that serve really believe in the Constitution of the United States. In fact, we write that blank check to defend it. I saw what was happening to the country. One of the main things I saw was a massive amount of debt that we were accumulating and that passing off to the next generation of Americans. My grandparents came over on the boat. I'm second generation here in the United States. We believe in this country, and I saw the massive amount of debt was being passed to the next generation, and I know it was completely unsustainable. And we're feeling the effects of this debt right now with sequestration, which is looming in front of us on January 2nd of next year, which is going to take across-the-board cuts from our military, which concerns me greatly, Tom, in the aspect that we will have the lowest ground forces since 1940. We will have the smallest fleet since 1915, and we will have the smallest tactical air force ever in existence. When I'm also on Homeland Security, and I can tell you that the threats of that are against the United States have expanded and they're varied, this is not the time to be cutting back in our military and trying to embrace a one-theater war concept. We see what's happening in North Africa, in the Middle East, in India, and Pakistan. And then at the same time, we see the Chinese flexing their muscles over disputed islands off the coast of Japan. This is not the time to be cutting our military.
And, Congressman, we've got to take a break in about 30 seconds. But before we do, can you tell our listeners, where is the 8th District in Minnesota?
The 8th District is God's country. It is in the northeastern portion of Minnesota. It is the second largest district east of the Mississippi, and it's bigger than 11 states. It's right on Lake Superior, and it's absolutely breathtakingly beautiful this time of year.
And that district includes the 148th Fighter Wing up in Duluth.
Bulldogs, exceptional group.
And, Congressman, when we come back, I want to talk about them and some help that you were able to secure for our Red Bulls. So we have to take a short break. We're speaking with Congressman Chip Kravac. We'll be back to Minnesota Military Radio in just a moment. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we're speaking with 8th District Congressman Chip Kravac. Congressman, a few months ago, we had Congressman John Klein on the show, and here's a little clip from what he had to tell us.
Joining us now is our special guest, Congressman John Klein. Congressman, I think a lot of our listeners probably don't know you had a long career in the United States Marine Corps, starting out as a helicopter pilot in Vietnam.
Yeah, I had almost a magical career. It was one of those things. The Vietnam War was raging back in the 60s. I was a college student, got into the NROTC program, was commissioned and graduated on the same day, and launched off on what I thought was going to be 3 years of active duty time, do my tour in Vietnam and get out and go back to school or something. And 25 years later, I finally figured out my 3 years were up.
Congressman Kravac, I know that you and Congressman Klein teamed up to help out our Red Bulls recently. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, the Red Bulls were coming back from overseas, found out they were being denied leave by Mr. Panetta that they deserve and earned. And Colonel Klein and myself linked up to make sure it's called PDMRA leave. I guess we're not supposed to have any acronym, Post-Deployment Mobilization Respite Absence Leave.
Very good, sir.
Making sure that they get those the leave that they deserve from extended months overseas, so that when they come back, it will help give them enough time to reintegrate back into their families and also, you know, back into employment. You know, when I got off active duty in the Navy and went into the civilian sector, there is a bit of a transitional period in getting to speak civilian again, so to speak. I remember going into an interview at a bank, and I gave my background as a branch officer and assistant admin officer, you know, the typical military spiel. But then this young HR person, she looked at me in the eyes and she goes, "Yes, but have you ever supervised anybody?" So this leave period will help our troops reintegrate back into civilian life and allow them to spend some very valued time with their families.
Congressman, as you know, since September 11th, 2001, there's been a lot of pressure on the guard units in the states. And in Minnesota, the Minnesota National Guard has had repeated deployments all over the world, and they are combat ready, and very important that we keep our word with those soldiers and airmen to make sure they're taken care of when they come back.
Absolutely. You know, these young troopers that come back after many deployments, putting them in harm's way, we owe them a great debt of gratitude. This young generation, some question whether they would be able to withstand the strain, and this young generation has stepped up even more so than anyone's ever expected. Their amount of deployments that our guard troops and reserve troops in particular have undertaken have been remarkable. How they, you know, you go from being a civilian one day and then you go to a full-up round within a couple weeks and sent overseas. So, you know, we owe great debt of gratitude to these young troopers.
Congressman, with all the pressure on the budget deficits, do you see the reliance on the Guard and Reserve units going on into the future?
Well, I do, but at the same time, because of sequestration, there will be elimination of over 100,000 troops out of active duty, which may place even more of a strain on our Reserve and Guard components. And the Reserve Guard components were never really envisioned to be acting in such a manner that they're doing. We have to step back and take a look at how we're using our Guard and Reserve, because they were putting a definite strain on not only them, but also their families as well. Like I said, the Guard and Reserve was never really meant to be. When I was in the Reserve, we said we do 20% of the mission for 5% of the pay. I would say that's probably expanded greatly since I was in.
We're speaking with the 8th District Congressman Chip Kravac on Minnesota Military Radio. Congressman, as we alluded to earlier, up in your district, we've got one of the best fighter wings in the nation, the 148th Fighter Wing.
Yep, and they've got a trophy to prove it. The Bulldogs up in Duluth, commanded by Colonel Stokes, has done an exceptional job in what they do as a firing. The guard up there, they have an association unit now. We fought very hard in assisting them in receiving an association status. And what that means, we have our guard people that have been working, have grown up with those F-16s. They know, I've seen them, I've gone to their hangars, and they strip down that F-16 and then rebuild it. Our active duty forces, you know, go in and out of different jobs and different opportunities, and working with directly and having active duty members working side by side with our guard troops is going to be very beneficial for our active duty forces, because I don't think there's anybody better that knows those F-16s than the Bulldogs out of Duluth.
Congressman, it's my understanding that the 148th got a new series of F-16s and they're on 24-hour alert mission status?
Right. The new Block 50s, and that's essential that we keep the Block 50s, and actually we need three more. We need three more Block 50s. They have a 24-hour alert status that, unfortunately, NORAD was trying to eliminate. We were able to, Frank Livondo was able to, with me as a co-sponsor, was able to stop the elimination of the 24-hour alerts out of Duluth and several other guard units until a proper assessment of threat was taken a look at, instead of just counting beans. We need to make sure we know where our assets are and how our assets could respond to a potential threat, instead of letting accountants decide that type of decision.
Congressman, we've got about a minute left. I wonder if you could just tell us briefly how much more you think you can get done to help support our military and our veterans in Minnesota.
Well, we've already initiated legislation to ensure that sequestration does not occur, because it will directly affect our guard units. I've spoken with General Nash on several occasions in regards to how sequestration will happen. I'm very concerned about loss of some of our reserve components that provide vital information in some of our intelligence realms, also provide manpower and overseas components that may be eliminated. So we've already initiated legislation to have these cuts offset by other entities to ensure that we have a full-up round in our National Guard and Reserve.
Congressman, just a few seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Thank you for all that you do. You have served this country proudly. We are so proud of you, and I hope that you'll be able to reach out to us and let us know how you help, how we can help you. And I hope that the bill that we passed, with our TSA bill, allows you to go through our national airports as with the respect and dignity that you so rightly deserve. And thank you. God bless.
Congressman, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, sir. All the best, Tom. Bye-bye now.
Thank you, sir. That was 8th District Congressman Chip Kravec on Minnesota Military Radio. Now it's time for Hire Minnesota's Heroes. With an unemployment rate twice the average, Minnesota's veterans are facing an unemployment crisis. The good news is that you can help. Each week we'll feature one veteran story and ask you to help Hire Minnesota's Heroes. This week's veteran is former Navy Corpsman Bill Lamoro. Bill, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm a veteran of the Gulf War, where I served as a Navy Corpsman with the Fleet Marine Force. And as a veteran, I have strong organizational skills, analytic and critical thinking skills, and effective interpersonal skills. I've been 15 years of I have over 15 years of diverse experience in IT, web administration, and web development. And I can set up servers, and I can develop internet, extranet, and intranet websites. I'm currently looking for opportunities in web administration and development.
Bill, we certainly hope you find something very soon. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Bill and hundreds of others are ready to work hard on their next mission. Can we hire Minnesota's heroes? To connect with Bill, contact the Blaine Workforce Center at 763-279-4342. That's 763-279-4342. Or to learn more, visit positivelyminnesota.com/veterans. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. This message is to help employers recruit and hire top-notch people. Did you know that only 27% of the men and women between the ages of 17 and 24 qualified to be in the U.S. military? That's right, only 27% qualified to be in the U.S. military. Did you know that 1 out of 6 veterans were on the front line? That means 5 out of 6 veterans worked in supply and support positions. Did you know that the United States military is one of the best training institutions in the world? Our veterans have received excellent training on the latest supply and support technologies, the same supply and support know-how that is required to contribute to the success of a company. The words unselfish, technology talented, and policy discipline describe most of our veterans. If those words describe the type of person you're looking for, do what I did. Add to your job postings and your website that you're a veteran-friendly employer and participate in the National Hire Veterans First campaign. Thank you, veterans. Thank you, military families.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In this segment, we're going to learn about ukuleles in the state veterans' homes. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelato.
The last Sunday in September is reserved to honor the mothers who have lost children in service of the United States. Gold Star mothers have given so much and continue to give back to the community through voluntary acts. The Gold Star symbolizes the loss of a loved one while serving in the armed forces of the United States, whether it is in combat or duty other than combat. Minnesota is host to an official Gold Star Mothers chapter. The chapter also serves mothers in North and South Dakota. In bearing the loss of a loved one, Gold Star mothers, fathers, spouses, and their families truly understand the cost of this country's security and freedom. The family members of our fallen have earned the utmost respect and undying gratitude of our nation and our state.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelato. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Eric Carranza, who runs a program called Ukes for Vets. Eric, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Can you tell me briefly, what is Ukes for Vets?
Sure. Ukes for Vets is a program started by former Deputy Commissioner Gil Acevedo, and it's part of the recreational therapy program at the Minneapolis and Hastings Veterans Homes to get some guys together and teach them music and hopefully get them talking to each other and making friends and hopefully experiencing the joy of playing music together.
Well, Eric, we're going to get to how Gil got to you to do this Uke for Vets in a minute.
Sure.
But I understand that you're a private music instructor?
I am.
And who do you teach and what type of things do you teach?
I teach stringed instruments, guitar, bass, and ukulele to people of all ages, anywhere from 5 years old to anywhere in the 80s. I got some old 80-year-old guys coming in that wanted to play music their whole lives, and they decided to come in and take some private lessons.
And how long have you been involved in the music industry? I understand you've done some recording and engineering as well as some live performances.
True. I've been a part of various musical projects for the last 10 years or so. Also did have a recording studio for a while, spent a few years on the road traveling in a touring band, things like that. And just in the last 5 years, started focusing on teaching.
And did you grow up liking music? How did you get into music?
Actually, my father was a professional musician until he was about 45 years old, so it was kind of always around.
So you got the bug from Dad?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Now, Gil Acevedo got a hold of you.
He did.
And twisted your arm. How did he convince you to do this and why?
Well, he came to me to tell me about the idea, and I thought it was a great idea. And just weeks later, he asked me to teach it. And I thought it sounded like a great idea. It sounded like a really fun thing to do. And so I started meeting with him and the rec therapists at the Minneapolis Vets Home and the Hastings Vets Home. And we got some ideas together. I brought in a ukulele, showed them that it can be more than just a toy, which is the common misconception. And we put together a demonstration for some of the guys at the home and started the class about a month later.
At that time, Gil was the Deputy Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
You got it.
And were you teaching him some music?
Yeah, I was. And he might not like you saying that, but yes, he's still a student of mine privately.
And what was he trying to learn?
Originally guitar, and then he ended up buying himself a ukulele. And then it spread, and now he's kind of gone mad with string instruments, and he's coming in with things I've never seen before, asking me to teach him how to play them.
So is he helping you when you go visit the vets?
You know, I don't think he's been a part of that since he left the home, so.
I think you should bring him back.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Got to pick on Gil a little bit.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the idea was ukuleles for veterans, known as Minnesota Uke for Vets. It's a music therapy program.
You got it.
Designed to assist veterans with a variety of problems.
Absolutely.
And you've been doing this since last fall.
Yep, started in October.
What type of issues are you helping the guys and gals with?
Well, a lot of these guys, you know, they have social problems. A lot of them are loners, maybe stick to themselves, stay in their room, not part of any activities. And this is getting them talking to each other, gives them something to talk about, gives them a reason to be with some of the other residents. A lot of them get together nightly to rehearse some songs as they're now planning on playing at some of the outdoor picnics and down at their coffee shop there at the home as well.
Now, Eric, had you had some other interaction with veterans in your life?
Just as far as I have a couple friends that are veterans, and other than that, no, this is kind of a first-time thing for me, jumping into it like this.
It's a new deal. So was the first place you went, was that the Hastings home?
Minneapolis was
Minneapolis.
First. Yep.
So tell us about that first time you tried to do this. How'd that,
well,
that story?
The first time we went in there, it was more of a demonstration just to show these guys what we were doing, show these guys what a ukulele was. Some of them really had never seen one before. So I brought in a few ukuleles, got them in their hands, and just showed them a couple basic strumming techniques and showed them how easy it is to get a couple chords down and that most songs are just a few simple chords.
How many guys showed up?
To the original meeting, probably 20 guys. 20 yeah. guys came in.
And were they a little skeptical, maybe?
Oh, sure. And they all had, you know, great jokes to throw at me for everything that I said, which made it really interesting, too.
They weren't picking on this young private music instructor that came out to the home, were they?
Oh, absolutely they were.
So how long was that first program? How long did it go?
That initial demonstration was probably half hour, and then our classes have been 45 minutes to an hour classes. Usually we end up running late because everyone wants to play another few songs. So
how many times did you have to go to that home before the guys kind of got into it?
Well, it's funny because at the beginning, we had a few guys who were showing up somewhat consistently. And from what I hear, it's that's kind of the general nature around there, that everything might be somewhat consistent, if at all. You know, now we have a few solid guys who are there every class, no matter what. I had a guy skip a Twins game the other day just to go to ukulele class.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, right?
Skip the Twins.
That's what I said. Yeah, like I said, some of these guys, they just stay in their rooms all day, and when it's time for the ukulele class, they're coming out to the class.
So do some of them have their own ukuleles now, or do you just bring them in?
Well, what we did is we got some from Growth Music. They gave us a great deal, and I told them, you know, it's for the veterans' homes, and they gave us a deal on some. And we told the residents that, hey, if you come to the classes regularly, the uke is yours to keep. So they get to take their ukes back to their room and practice in the halls, outside, in the dining area, wherever they want to go.
So about 10 o'clock every night, security collects up all the ukuleles.
Yeah, right.
Everybody can go back to sleep.
Right, exactly.
So are any of the guys getting any good?
Absolutely, yeah. I've seen incredible progress with some of the guys. You know, some of these guys couldn't keep a beat at the beginning. You know, couldn't keep a solid 1-2-3-4 beat. And now they're playing a variety of songs together with other people. We got even other instruments involved. These guys are coming out of the woodwork now who have guitars hanging up on their walls in their room that nobody knew about, and they're coming and joining the class. And it's kind of just a whole big group of people having fun together singing songs.
So they're rocking and rolling on their ukuleles out at the Veterans
Hall. Absolutely, yeah.
Eric, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about some examples of some of the vets that maybe have helped with some of the PTSD and some of the problems. We're speaking with Eric Carranza about Ukes for Vets on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and I'm speaking with Eric Carranza about a program called Ukes for Vets. Eric, we had a little music there. I'm visualizing the vets out at the home playing on this instrument. I can't see it, but I'll have to come out and watch this sometime. You've been out there at Hastings and Minneapolis, and this program is a music therapy program designed to assist veterans with a variety of behavioral, mental health, isolation, and post-traumatic stress disorders. How's it going? And are the guys actually singing?
They are singing. They're all singing together. We actually put together a few songs for their talent show they just had about a month and a half ago. And if you can imagine, about 15 vets up on the stage singing a ukulele rendition of My Girl, all singing in harmony, just like the Temptations.
Strumming on a ukulele and they're all singing?
You got it. You got it.
Now, does this sound like wolves howling at the moon?
No, you know what? There are some really, really talented guys out there. I guess sometimes they do like a karaoke thing out there, and some of these karaoke stars have migrated over to the uke program and give them a chance to show off. Show off their singing chops.
Just trying to visualize it. I've been out to the home a number of times, and some of our veterans, unfortunately, are kind of beat up.
You got it. You got that right.
And you got those guys out there strumming on ukuleles and singing.
Absolutely.
I've got to see this. It just doesn't compute to me. You started the program. Sounds like it's taken on. The guys are showing up and they're playing the ukuleles and singing. I can't get this in my mind. Can you tell us some stories? Are there some guys that you've brought out of their shell? Or is it helping them with some of the issues that they have?
Yeah, from what I see, you know, especially talking to some of the rec staff, there's a few guys there who I guess really don't talk to many people, and they're really kind of nervous and anxious a lot of the times. But when they're in the ukulele class, they are all smiles and talking to everybody, kind of life of the party kind of thing. And aside from that, you know, we've had some people who said, you know, I did play music at one point, but I don't think I remember how. I had one gentleman say, I learned ukulele, but I haven't played in about 60 years. And I tuned the thing up, got it in his hands, and he was almost fighting with it a little bit. Couldn't quite figure it out again, but out of nowhere whips into a song, singing, playing like he's been playing it forever. And those kind of moments are really cool to see. And those are the guys who end up showing up, you know, every class, no matter what.
How often do you hold the classes?
We do them twice a week in Minneapolis and at Hastings twice a week as well.
So you're putting on a few miles.
You got it. Yep.
Starting to make some friends from these old vets out there?
Oh, yeah. And they're really, really great guys with lots of great stories. Like I said, you know, some of these guys, if they don't have the physical ability to play an instrument, they just want to come in and sing. Some of them just want to shake a tambourine. Some of them just want to talk about music. And we've heard a lot of great stories from people who don't necessarily share with each other. But we've started to hear some great stories from some of these guys.
Now you're making some friends out there, too.
Absolutely, yeah.
I can see some of those guys. You know, you're a young private music instructor. They probably just wait for you to come out there and just start taking shots.
Oh, they take shots immediately when I walk in the door, and that's part of the charm over there, too.
All in good fun, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, how's the staff and the administration of the homes? How are they reacting to ukuleles all over the home?
Well, you know, some of them, maybe they're hearing a little bit too much ukulele in the halls or when they're trying to get some work done or if they're on the phone. But surprisingly, especially in Hastings, the staff has been really supportive. And we even have a couple of the guys joining in on the classes, singing along with the residents and picking up a ukulele themselves and trying to learn a couple chords.
Did they have to put in any no music hours at night so people can get some rest?
Not that I know of, but I know that I've heard some stories about a couple of roommates that got a little frustrated with some of these guys in their new class that they've been taking. So
confiscate the uke and say no more tonight, guys.
We have had a couple of ukes go missing, and I have a feeling it happened from a couple of roommates from disgruntled roommates from playing overnight.
So all the trouble you're causing at the homes, Eric. Now, are there some contests or they put on some performances? What's the culmination of this?
Well, their first performance was this talent show I spoke about that just happened down in Hastings. And that group is now preparing to perform at their outdoor picnics that they're going to be holding once a month.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I know, right? They also have a coffee shop down there that they're looking to try to make a regular performance schedule. So
I suppose there'll be a barbershop quartet next.
We'll see about that. I'm trying to get these guys singing in harmony. We've started them off with songs like My Girl and Ring of Fire, and now we're moving into suggestions that some of the guys have wanted to do some Rolling Stones songs and things like that. Happy Together and Bob Dylan songs and things like that.
Rocking out at the Vets Home.
Rock and roll on ukulele. You got it.
Now I understand you've got a video too.
There is a video of the talent show that was held, and quite a few really great performances from these guys that you would have never guessed. And we'll try to get a copy of that over here.
And for our listeners, if they want to see that, you can check out facebook.com/Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Eric, we just got a few seconds left. Any final thoughts about Ukes for Vet? And it looks to me like you're looking forward to this continuing for a while. You're having fun, aren't you?
I'm having a great time. It's one of the most rewarding experiences I've ever had, and I hope it keeps going.
Great. Eric, I want to thank you for joining us today.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
It was Eric Carranza with his program for Ukes for Vets on Minnesota Military Radio. We have one mention today. Don't forget the Welcome Home the Troops Pheasant Hunt coming up on October 20th and 21st at Wild Wings of Onika in Hugo. You can find more information at Minnesota Military Radio Facebook page or beyondtheyellowribbon.org. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Congressman Chip Kravac, Eric Carranza, Commissioner Larry Shelado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we discover an innovative University of Minnesota invention that's saving military lives in Afghanistan and for police officers here at home. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.